Now, local news from Montana Public Radio.
Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by lead newspaper Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison. And Mike, as you predicted last week, some moderate Republicans joined with Democrats to pass the Flathead Water Compact, much as they did to pass Medicaid expansion.
It was almost an exact rerun of the Medicaid expansion bill play out, with about a dozen Republicans joining the Democrats to support not only the bill, but also to win the rules battle a day or two before to bring it to the floor. And once you have a majority like that that's willing to stick together, you can pretty much do what you want in the House, or the Senate for that matter. But in the House, it takes another hurdle or two to get over in terms of declaring rules say certain things, enable them to bring the bill to the floor, 52-48 vote, and then pass it 53-47.
During debate, supporters of the compact, like Democrat and Blackfeet tribal member George Kipp III, warned that the tribes might seek more water claims if the compact wasn't approved.
They're saying, we've given up too much. They amend this here, forget about it. We have our cases, and I think there's about 90,000 of them, already and waiting to be filed.
And Mike, that was a real threat, wasn't it?
Well, I wouldn't call it a threat. I would just call it a reality that if this is not passed, the compact, and if it's not ratified, and even if it is, I mean, they're still going to, now they're going to file in the water court the compact. But before that, if they didn't, they had until July to essentially file for all their proposed or claimed water rights, and which they would have done. And they might have been far more extensive than what is agreed to in the compact. And they said that all along, and I think everyone knows that would happen.
Some opponents, like Republican Teresa Manzella, continued to complain that the compact is just too complex to approve.
If you want me to vote on an 1,100-page bill that takes Montana's water away from some citizens and gives it to others forevermore, you'd better be prepared to make me understand.
And Mike, one Republican even warned that it would lead to, quote, agricultural apartheid.
Yeah, that was Matthew Monforton, a representative from Bozeman, and he was talking about a specific part of the compact that sets up this unitary board that says people on the reservation will have some of their water use governed by this board. And there's disputes, they take it to the board. And he's saying that's different from everything else in the state when you decide water rights. And he's right, it is different. But whether it's apartheid or not, I mean, I guess the political people can debate about that. But it was set up that way because there are so many different jurisdictional questions about the water on a reservation with the tribes and the federal government and the state and the irrigation project people and the people who aren't in the irrigation project. They said, we're going to set up this board to take care of all these disputes outside of the irrigation project. It's going to have people chosen by the tribes and by the governor with some input from county commissioners. That's how we're going to do it. So it is a different system.
Many supporters of the compact, like Democrat Carolyn Pease Lopez, really basically charged that opponents are being willfully ignorant of Native American rights.
I would hate for our committee to take the ostrich approach, stick our head in the dirt, and say, I don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to be educated. I just have this God-given right to be wrong.
And Mike, that God-given right to be wrong, basically she's saying that there's just a lack of knowledge of treaty rights and a refusal to really learn those rights.
Well, I wouldn't completely disagree with her. I mean, I heard a lot of comments on the floor and in committee hearings from opponents. And, you know, I don't know enough about it to say they're wrong or they're ignorant, but a lot of times I found myself thinking, you know, I don't really understand even what they're saying. What they're saying just didn't make any sense to me. And whereas the proponents, when I heard their testimony and read the material that they had, I could look at that and say, I understand why they're doing what they're doing and what they're saying and the consequences are going to be. Like I said, I don't know enough to really say one way or the other who's right or wrong, but yeah, there was a lot of confusion over this. It's a very complex issue. And there's a lot of very emotional, heartfelt feelings on both sides. But you do have to look at who supported this compact. I mean, the governor's office, the Republican attorney general, all the major ag groups, a lot of farmers and ranchers, both on and off the reservation. I mean, it wasn't like these are outliers in our society here.
And the upshot is the compact is headed to the governor's desk and he will sign it, we're sure. But then it also has many more hoops to go through before it becomes reality.
That's right. It has to be approved by the tribes, which it will certainly happen since they negotiated it. It has to go to Congress. There has to be some money attached to it as well. And it will be, my understanding is it will be filed with the water court too.
Well, we'll continue to follow the progress of that after the legislature. And Chuck, another bill that has been high on the administration's priority list is also on its way to the governor's desk, and that's Senator Dwayne Ankeny's bill calling for more transparency in campaign financing, the so-called dark money bill. That has passed.
That's right, Sally. The House had put an amendment on, and the Senate this week approved the amendment, and it's headed to the governor's office where he undoubtedly will sign it. It's his bill with Senator Ankeny's. And, you know, it was a kind of a unusual team, the governor teaming up with a pretty strong Republican, but a moderate Republican, or one who's not afraid to go against his party. And the bill sailed through the Senate pretty much. I mean, there were still opponents, but he got plenty of votes to spare.
Well, Senator Ankeny thanked his colleagues for their civil debate of that bill.
Whether you like it or you hate it, there's been civil discussion in this body on this bill, and I truly thank each and one of you, and you have my respect.
And Senator Ankeny being gracious there in victory.
Yeah, and the debates on this bill were not nasty. They were, you know, some legitimate questions raised, some legitimate answers. It actually moved through a lot easier than I would have anticipated, but it will become law soon and be on the books in time for the 2016 election.
As is typical in legislative sessions, the budget is still the big ticket item that has yet to be resolved, and there's lots of pieces of that that have to fall into place. Are they getting closer?
Oh, I think they're getting closer. And there's talk of this wrapping up the end of next week, which would be a week early, or maybe early the next week. House Bill 2, the big budget bill, is going to a conference committee, which is three members from the House and Senate each. We'll start meeting next week to iron out some fairly big things that are still left undecided. But I'm sensing that, you know, the fight in a lot of people, I think, is waning. I think they're saying, look, it's not that big of a difference between where we are. Let's get it worked out so we can go home.
One of the things still to be worked out, of course, are pay raises for state workers. And that is an issue that has been contentious the whole session, Chuck.
Yes, the Bullock administration and public employee unions in November agreed to a pay plan that would provide 50 cent an hour raises in each of the next 2 years and increases of the state share of insurance premiums. The bill that did that was tabled and is essentially dead, but the feeling is there'll be something added to House Bill 2. Every day, there are some state employees that stand up with signs as the legislators enter the House and Senate, and I just think that something will probably end up. It may not be the full 50 cent an hour raises. Maybe it'll be less. Maybe the raises will be delayed. But I think something will happen before the session ends.
And university officials are watching this very closely because they agreed to freeze tuition if there was a funded pay plan. But if not, then that agreement is off the table, one assumes.
That's correct, Sally. And there is a written agreement that says this tuition freeze is dependent on the legislature funding pay raises for university system faculty and staff. So I think it's fair to say if they don't do anything, that tuition is likely to go up for students.
And Mike, there's also $8 million as part of the Flathead Water Compact that needs to be approved in that budget as well.
That's right. It was stripped out in the House earlier. And it's been said that there is a quote-unquote gentleman's agreement to add that back in if the compact passed. Now, yesterday, on the floor of the House, Nancy Balance, the Republican chair of House Appropriations Committee, an opponent of the compact, got up and said she thought this trust had been broken because they didn't send the bill down to her committee to examine it. But I talked to her afterwards, and she seemed a little more accommodating and saying, well, you know, we did promise that we would put that in there in the conference committee if it did pass, and I like to keep my promises. So I'm thinking that will probably go in without too much problem unless we hit some sort of other hicks that make people mad.
And the governor is still hoping to get his early education program, a new program, funded, but that is probably still pretty iffy, isn't it?
I would say so. They're still talking about it. I think that Lou Jones, Senator Lou Jones, who's kind of the mastermind behind a lot of the budget stuff and the chairman of the Finance Committee, he's very negative about that program. So I'd be surprised if it got in there. But you never say never as long as the legislature is still in session.
It's true. And Chuck, legislators all along have agreed with the administration that the state needs to fund a lot of infrastructure projects because the infrastructure, as in every other state in the country, is aging. But they continue to fight over how to fund that. And that's going to be something they still need to resolve in the next week or two.
You know, as we recall, Sally, the fight initially was Republicans didn't like how much bonding Governor Bullock had in his original plan, and his plan has kind of gone by the wayside. And the bill that everyone's looking at right now is one by Senator John Brennan with Lou Jones involved and a couple of Democrats from the Senate, Jim Keane and John Sesso. The hearing the other day on the bill was kind of interesting. It was sort of damned by faint praise by the people that stood up to support it from eastern Montana, who said it really didn't do much to help them. We're hearing there may be some amendments to revise how it's funded, but it's a pretty big plan, and it does have bonding. So we've got Republicans agreeing to some bonding and cash, and then it would also give borrowing authority to cities and counties to borrow money at low interest rates from the Board of Investments. And if everything hits its peak in terms of meeting revenue triggers, it could be a $300 million bill, $100 in cash, $100 in bonding, and $100 in borrowing authority. But it starts out at 50-50-50, and it would depend on how revenues come in. And this is the vehicle. There are still some of the bills that were broken off of the governor's main infrastructure bill for Treasure State Endowment and some of these programs, and they're moving along too. So I think we'll get something, but it's kind of hard to guess right now exactly what it'll be.
This gorgeous spring weather has to be exerting its own pressure for legislators to get out of the Capitol.
That can only be good news for those of us who want this to end early.
And well, reporters are feeling the same desire to leave this place too.
Well, I have been speaking with Lee newspaper Capitol reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and you've been listening to Capitol Talk. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and we hope you join us again next week, which might be the last week of the session. We don't know. We'll see. And Chuck and Mike, I hope we all get to get out and enjoy a little bit of this beautiful weekend.
That sounds like a plan.
Sounds good, Sally.